Rodney read to us is Matthew 18. And the good news of the gospel is that because of the work of Jesus on the cross, God can and he does forgive the guilt of sin to all who come to him in trust and repentance, come to Jesus, bring themselves just as they are. So the hymn that we sang earlier said, the vilest offender, don't know who that is, but there will be one, I'll probably come near the top, the vilest offender who truly believes, trusts their life to Jesus, that moment, don't have to make themselves better or go through a whole bunch of classes, that very moment for the vilest offender, from Jesus a pardon receives. That's the forgiveness of Jesus. And the forgiven sinner then is reconciled to God. The enmity that sin has created, that separated that person, you and me, from God, is restored. And that's the model that God gives his children. Christians should be forgiving. Forgiving people, doing everything in our power to reconcile the one who sinned against us and to restore that relationship to a loving, caring relationship. So a church like ours, a Bible-believing church, a Christian family, is a community of people who have been forgiven. Some of us have been forgiven massive debts of sin and wrong. We're forgiven sinners, which of course means that the person who makes absolutely no effort at all to forgive others and to restore that relationship is not a person who should ever expect to have a life in heaven with God. Because God is a forgiving person. That's his character. And so this morning I want to look at what the Bible says is involved in being and becoming a forgiving person. Because it doesn't just happen when a person becomes a Christian. We're not zapped suddenly with a wonderful forgiving nature. And we see from these verses that forgiveness is not something you just do in your mind. When you've been hurt, saying, oh, well, I'll just forget it. I know what they're like. They're always like that, but I forgive them. That's not biblical forgiveness. And so we're instructed by Jesus himself to go to the brother or sister that's hurt us or offended us and to seek to resolve the problem, to raise the hurt that you've experienced and that you're feeling. And you raise the offence that you feel has been committed in a very gracious, loving, caring way. Never in a destructive way. Never to kind of get your own back. But to go to speak to them and to speak to them only. No one else. If that person has hurt you and offended you, Jesus says you go to them. You don't tell anyone else about it. And you go to them with the goal of restoring your relationship through repentance. That's always the first thing that we should do. And let me just say, we only do that when there's been a very serious breakdown in the relationship. We're not talking here, and Jesus is not talking here about some kind of minor squabbles and disagreements that we have and that take place in every normal family and take place in a true Christian family. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the times when whatever's gone on completely breaks our relationship with the other person. And Jesus says that in most occasions, in a true Christian family, going to that brother or sister and explaining how they've been hurt will heal that relationship. That's always the first thing we do, but sadly not in every case. And so Jesus continues saying that if the coming together of two people doesn't heal and restore the relationship, then and only then do we take another person, or maybe one or two other people with us. The people that we take with us up to that point know nothing at all about the problem. No one knows except you. Keep that to yourself. It's only when that relationship is not restored, when you've tried one-to-one with that person, that we take a couple of other people so that they can hear both sides. And either then they'll advise you to drop it, saying, you know, it's just not that important. Drop it. Or they'll join you in urging the other to acknowledge his or her wrong and to repent and to restore the relationship. Can you see what Jesus is saying? The whole method of this, hard though it is, and we all know that this happens in churches. We need to know what it is to be able to forgive from our hearts. Only then, Jesus says that if after all of that, the relationship is not restored, then as a last effort to heal that relationship, the matter must be made known to the church. And when I say the church, the members of the church, not a church like this, but those who are members in the church, to make it known to them. And so that, again, Jesus says, so that the whole membership of the church can plead with that other person to repent, to say it's not worth falling out like this. Come and restore and heal the hurt. But then Jesus goes on to say that if even that doesn't work, after going through the whole of this hard process, even that doesn't work, then that person who refuses to repent, refuses to have the relationship restored, must be removed from the church family, removed from the members of the church, removed from communion. They're to be treated as though they were a non-Christian, because they're behaving as a non-Christian. And so we're to assume that they're an unbeliever, not a Christian, and so they're excluded. And the church still continues to pray and work for their restoration. This seems a hard passage. I've never heard anyone preach on it. I don't know, I nearly didn't preach on it myself, because it seems to be a hard passage of scripture. And yet through it all, we hear Jesus saying that it's all geared not for retribution, not to show somebody how wrong they are, but to restore the love and grace of God at work in their lives. That's the desire. It's never to crush by having revenge, but to lovingly restore this other person. Now that's Jesus' teaching on forgiveness in church life. And it's so very important. I need to stress this. And the reason that I tackle this is because after 16 months of being closed down the building, and when we opened up, I felt it was almost like a fresh start. And it was wonderful. It's wonderful to be back together. And then it dawned on me that we would be back together as a group of sinners, with all the possibility of someone saying that one thing to you and it really, really hurts you and offends you and feel like taking you back home. So I wanted to deal with this because this is Jesus' teaching on forgiveness in the life of the church. And you notice, if you remember from last week, that it was only when Jesus has dealt with that hard bit about what you do, that it was then that he deals with Peter's questions on, well, okay, I'm listening, Lord, but how many times do you have to do it? I mean, how many times? I mean, that person, they've hurt me before. And I'm pretty sure they'll hurt me again. So how many times do you have to do it? And it's only after this teaching that Jesus deals with that question. And in essence, he says, Jesus answers Peter, in essence, he says, as many times as it takes. That's the answer. As many times as it takes. They've hurt you again. Deal with it. Hurt you again. Deal with it. Hurt you again. Forgive them. How many times, Jesus says, have I forgiven you through every day? How many times? Every time you come, forgive you. And that's the model for us. Okay, that's Jesus' teaching. Well, let me just say a couple more things about this. And the first thing I think I need to say is that if you're sat here listening to this and you are always finding that you feel you're being sinned against, if you're always getting upset, somebody's always saying something to you that hurts and offends you, almost certainly the problem's with you. Almost certainly the problem's with you. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says that Christian love covers a dozen sins. No. Christian love covers over a multitude of sins. In other words, with Christian love, forgiveness can apply over and over and over and over and over again. So if you're always feeling hurt and upset, almost certainly the problem's with you. And then we read in Proverbs, you don't need to turn to this, but Proverbs chapter 19, I read this. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to that person's glory to overlook the offence. To that person's glory to overlook the offence. Love and forgiveness covers a multitude of sins. You see how different Christian life is to life in the community. You see, life in the general world community thinks that if you've been hurt or sinned against, get your own back. It's time to get your own back. It's to your glory to get revenge. All your mates will say, well done. And they deserved it. But the Christian life is so different. It says that it's to the Christian's glory to overlook it and forgive. So if the Christian is following Jesus and chooses in love to cover that person's offence and their sin, to cover it, then you don't talk to anyone else about it, because that would uncover it. That would let somebody else know, that would uncover it. So if you're following Jesus and you're applying this forgiveness and you've been hurt, then don't talk to anyone else about it, but only to that other person. So the second thing I just mentioned is that the Christian should always ask just how serious this thing is. If we live together as a group of Christians, there'll always be little things, there'll always be things that tick you off, you know, particularly with someone at the front like me. There'll always be things that come and, you know, you don't get on with. And so, that's the second thing I just mentioned to you. How serious is this issue? Is this really serious enough to break our relationship together? And we have to ask ourselves, was it just a difference of opinion? Well, we will have differences of opinion. Whenever we're studying the Bible, there'll be things that doesn't strike you that what this person holds to is right and they don't think you're right. There'll always be differences of opinion. Or was it just me having a bad day? Or was it just that I really just didn't handle that very well? They caught me at the wrong part, you know. And if I could rewind it, I'd do things differently. See, how serious is it? Is it serious enough to split apart a relationship and split apart a church? We need to ask that every time. We don't confront people over just genuine mistakes that they've made. And we don't confront people over their character aspects that are different to ours. You see, every true Christian is all too aware of his or her faults. And they're grieved by them. Well, they don't need you or me to point them out. The true Christian is very well aware of their faults. But if the mistake is so serious as it causes the breakdown of a relationship, well, it's time to seek to put it right. I was once a part of a church church was in Keighley, so it's nowhere near here, none of you would know it, where it was quite a, what shall I say, it was they were more formal than we are. They had a church organist who was a teacher of music at a grammar school, and he played the organ so wonderfully well. And minister one particular day gave out the hymn, the organist struck up the music, and no one sang. So the minister stopped them and said, stopped the organist and said, we don't know that tune. And the organist said, that is the tune. If you don't like it, get someone else to play. And he walked out. And he broke up the church for a month or two. See, how serious is it? Why don't you just play the next tune? How serious is it? We need to be asking ourselves those things, that question. Silly little things can spoil a whole service for you and for me. It's terrible. We're not here for me. The service is not for me, and it's not for you. And there will be things that I choose that you don't like, and things that you say, and things that we do, and we can stop singing, and I've done it. It's terrible. It's terrible. Churches are full of irritating people. I'm one of them. And churches all the time split, and breakdowns occur, and it's so serious. We're here for God's glory, so make the service work. Whether you like the tune, whether you like the hymn, whether it's not your favourite, why doesn't he never choose this one? Make it work, because it's for God's glory. You be a part of it. So don't be easily irritated, or you'll find your life as a Christian a misery. You'll be constantly moaning, unhappy about things. Christian forgiveness is vital in the life of the church. It's described as bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. Forgiveness is the oil, as it were, in the life of a church that helps the wheels of the church to turn smoothly. And with this I close, but you know that the word in the New Testament that we translate in English by this English word restore, when we're talking about restoring relationship, is the word that is used when Jesus first came to Simon Peter and found him mending his nets. It's the same word, restoring. It's the same word, mending his nets. It's a medical term. It meant the mending, the putting together of broken bones. And that's always a part of the Christian life. It's always a part of church life. It will be a part of this church's life. The mending of broken, hurt, torn relationships. And I can't overemphasize the importance of this, because society today has made us into a set of snowflakes. We're just so sensitive to my rights. So very sensitive. And if at the slightest offence, something I disagree with, we're off. And we stop coming. And Satan absolutely loves to break relationships. Loves it. And to manipulate fallouts among Christians. And that's why I brought this to us at the kind of start, the fresh start of a church here. Jesus says, and it's only struck me, so thank you very much for allowing me to, I nearly said study, but prepare this message, because it's for the first time it struck me. I'd never seen it before. Because Jesus says here that if everything else fails in seeking to restore a broken relationship, then the very final move is to put people out of the church membership. No communion. You see, that never works today. Because if you put somebody out of this church, they just go somewhere else. But in Jesus' day, there was only one Christian church in a city. And so if you put someone out of the church, that was their Christian fellowship gone forever. And what struck me is that putting someone out of the church was Jesus' ultimate punishment. For Jesus, there was nothing worse for a Christian than that to happen. And that's why choosing not to go to church when you could do, when there's a church service on, means that you're actually choosing the very punishment that Jesus regards as a terrible punishment and judgment. What a thing. Never struck me before. That when we choose not to come, we're actually choosing what Jesus describes as the punishment for the sin of unforgiveness. So, life for the Christian is not duty. It's not a box you tick once on a Sunday. It's not one of those things that the better the service, the shorter it is, you know. This was a really good one today, only spoke for 25 minutes. Church is family. Do you love your family? Family everything to you? Do you love your family? Church is family. We love our family, we love being with them. It's not a chore, it's not a duty. You're not timing them to say, well, we've been 25 minutes with you a lot now, you know. No, no. This is our family. We love to be here. We love to be together. We love to rejoice and enjoy our time. And the one big thing that can, and often does, break our family relationship is unforgiveness. So let's hear the word of God to us as individuals and to us as a church fellowship. We will need this being brought to mind as we move on, and as we seek to grow together, and as we seek to grow in numbers, and as perhaps new people come in, we will need to remember this, that the oil that keeps the wheels of the church going is God's gracious ability for you to bear with one another and forgive. Why? Well, because he's forgiven you so very much. So may the Lord help us to take this on board. Next week for our final message, I just want to look again at this subject and just to clear up some of the things that come from what I've said to you. And may the Lord help us as we seek to serve him. So let's just pray.